The Bible tells the story of redemptive history. It is God's plan to redeem mankind back to himself and restore the relationship that was lost due to sin. This is a progressively unfolding plan throughout history, which we can see through a period of stages that help us track the progression of God's kingdom building plan. There are different ways to divide the biblical narrative into stages, and we're going to look at several of them today. This is pretty basic information, but understanding the framework of the text is foundational to having a correct understanding and interpretation of the text. So join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. Today's episode will be relatively brief, but I think it's foundational to a proper understanding of the biblical text. We're going to look at God's overarching plan of redemption that threads throughout Scripture by examining three frameworks: stages of history, dispensations, and covenants. We're going to briefly look at the Bible through these frameworks. The first framework shows biblical history divided into seven primary stages, with the Old Testament covering five of these stages and the New Testament covering two of the stages. This framework comes from an Old Testament survey textbook by Jason DeRoshi. From this chart, you can see that each stage is another step in God's plan of building a kingdom. The first stage began in Genesis with creation, but then sin and rebellion entered the picture. This stage ended in judgment through the flood. The next stage was the patriarchs, including Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They formed the family through which God promised to bless all the nations of the earth. The third stage was the formation of the nation of Israel after the Exodus from Egypt. They were redeemed from Egypt and commissioned to be a holy nation. They received the law at Sinai and then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years due to their disbelief. Finally, they could progress to the next stage, which began with the conquest of the Promised Land, and then to a period of the judges, and then eventually to the formation of a monarchical government, which split into two kingdoms later on. Due to continual rebellion and idolatry, Israel was exiled. Assyria conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and Babylon conquered the southern kingdom of Judah. Eventually, while under Persian rule, Jewish people began to return to the Promised Land, and they experienced an initial restoration. That concluded the Old Testament. The New Testament began with the redemptive work of Jesus and the founding of the church age. We are presently in the church age, and at some point in the future, Christ will return and establish his millennial rule. Now, this is a really very broad 40,000-foot view of the Bible, but it helps us to see the overarching narrative that ties all of the biblical texts together into one story, one plan of redemption. As I mentioned previously, these time periods can be grouped in different ways. Another framework is provided by dispensations, which is a formal way of saying a period of time in which God deals with mankind in a particular way related to sin and salvation. Biblical history can be divided into seven discernible dispensations, and more information about the dispensations can be found in Dr. Nathaniel Wilson's book called Rightly Dividing the Word. The chart shows the stages we just reviewed on the left and then dispensations on the right, so you can see how their time frames relate to each other. A really important principle is that each dispensation began with hope, but ended in judgment due to mankind's failure. But connected with the judgment each time was a new promise providing future hope. And this pattern repeated itself with each dispensation. The first three dispensations were innocence, conscience, and human government. Innocence began with creation and ended with the fall. Conscience began with Adam and Eve living with this newfound knowledge of good and evil and receiving a promise in Genesis 3:15 of a future redeemer. But this dispensation ended in judgment with the flood. Following that was the period of human government, and it's covered in Genesis chapters 9 through 11, which began with hope following the flood. However, after the Tower of Babel, this dispensation ended in judgment with the confusion of languages and the dispersion of the people. Next was the dispensation of promise, or the patriarchal dispensation. This dispensation opened with hope because of the promises made by God to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. But it ended with the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. The dispensation of law covers the rest of the Old Testament. It opened with bright hope with the Exodus. This period of the law gets its name from the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And Israel was under the law during the time in the wilderness, when they conquered the Promised Land, and when they established the Kingdom of Israel. During this dispensation, the kingdoms of Israel and Judah experienced God's judgment through the exile. But God, in His mercy, also provided a restoration. However, the period of the law ultimately ended in failure in Israel's refusal to recognize the Messiah and in His crucifixion. But Christ's sinless sacrifice on Calvary met the demands of the law and made a provision for redemption to be available to everyone. Christ resurrected, and the Holy Ghost was poured out on the birthday of the church. We are presently living in the church age. Redemption is available, and liberty from sin is available. And we look forward expectantly for Christ's return to establish the millennium. There is another way to look at God's progressive plan of redemption throughout biblical history, and that framework is with key covenants. Now, the Bible includes a lot of covenants, but I'm referring to key ones between God and people. There are eight primary covenants that Dr. Wilson details in his book. The Edenic covenant was between God and Adam and Eve. God offered continuous fellowship to them. They had to tend the garden, replenish the earth, and have dominion over it. But they could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After they did, they broke the covenant. That was followed by the Adamic covenant, which is found in Genesis chapter 3, following their expulsion from the garden. God explained the consequences from the fall, but He also provided a promise of a future redeemer through the seed of the woman. After the flood, God established the Noahic covenant between God and Noah and all of Noah's posterity. Of course, you know the rainbow as the sign of this covenant. But what is especially important is that in chapter 9, verse 1, God reaffirmed the call to be fruitful and multiply. This is important because this was how the seed of the woman was going to come into the world. And God established the structure of human government, whereby He would protect the seed that had been promised. Then came the Abrahamic covenant, when God began working His redemptive purposes through one family in whom all the people of the earth would be blessed. God still had a universal plan to draw all people back to himself, but his methodology shifted to call out a people who would consecrate themselves and share the saving message with the rest of the world. Following this covenant, the rest of the Old Testament deals with Abraham's descendants, which became the nation of Israel. Then there was the Mosaic covenant between God and Moses at Mount Sinai. Here, God gave the Ten Commandments as well as the rest of the law. God also revealed the pattern for the tabernacle and established the priesthood. Through this covenant, Israel became God's chosen people who were to be his ambassadors, fulfilling God's will in the earth. Next was the Palestinian covenant, which was God's promise of land to Israel. The Davidic covenant occurred during King David's reign, in which God promised to establish David's house, throne, and kingdom. From David would come the Messiah. Together, the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant really established the foundation for the next covenant in the sequence, the New Covenant. The New Covenant marked the beginning of the New Testament. This transition from an old covenant to a new covenant, or from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is dramatic, but it's still a continuation of the same story of redemption. A quick comparison of the two shows some differences. The old covenant came by Moses. The new covenant came by Jesus Christ. The old was ratified by the blood of bulls and goats. The new was ratified by the shedding of blood by Jesus Christ. The old had many sacrifices. The new only had one. The old demanded righteousness. The new gave righteousness. The old was associated with wrath. The new offered salvation from wrath. In the old, the law at Sinai was written on stone. In the new, the law is written in our hearts. In the old, the Spirit was given for temporary empowerment. In the new, the Spirit dwells in the believer. Through Jesus Christ, the old covenant came to fulfillment and the new covenant was established. As we look at the Bible, it's important to remember that it's God's unfolding story of redemption. That is the overarching purpose, and we can see it by looking at these various frameworks that we've examined. God has been building his kingdom throughout time. The nation of Israel, as the descendants of Abraham, was originally set apart to be the conduit through which all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But they failed in their mission. By faith, we also are descendants of Abraham, and the church is now the channel through which salvation is offered to the world. Hopefully, from this brief review, you can see the essential role that the church is playing in God's redemptive plan in these end times. During the church age, God is calling out of the Gentiles, a people for his namesake. Those of us who are already in the church are called to consecrate ourselves to God and to draw people to him so they find salvation in him. He has equipped and empowered us with his Spirit, and it is the foretaste of the kingdom that is already here, but not yet in its fullness. For us to be a part of God's plan of redemption for the world, we need to actively share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.